welcome to week 8 of All In with the Saints with myself, Jake Seeley, and Bobby McMahon of rotoexperts.com. As always, you can follow us at All In Kid for myself, at Hello, I'm Bobby for Bobby. You can listen to all of our programming on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, fntsy.com/radio, or you can download the app at the iTunes Store or on Google Play. So tons of information we got you all the time and all the help that you ever need. It's a heavy bye week, Bobby. It's the first of two consecutive six-team bye weeks. Is this not – it's basically make or break point of the season because it's also week 8 and week 9. You can't afford to go, you know, 2-6 or 3-5 if you're in those positions. And on top of it, we have all the byes. It has to be a stressful time, does it not?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I appreciate the difficulty that it must be to put a schedule together for 32 NFL teams, but why do we go from like two teams on bye to six all of a sudden in the middle of the fantasy season? It's definitely just adds so much more stress.
Yeah, I don't, because it was 2-4-2-2 and then 6-6-6,
yeah,
and then there's two again, and there's two in week 13, which I kind of understand the week 13, because week 12 there's none because it's Thanksgiving week.
Right.
But I don't really – does it really matter if they're on a bye during Thanksgiving? I mean, is it just for the fact that – this is just what I feel like. It's like the NFL focuses more on ratings, which are down, by the way, and like don't focus on like, you know, maybe that's why, is because they're trying to tweak things a little bit too much, is because, okay, so you have the three games on Thursday for Thanksgiving. Yeah. So if you have teams on bye – it's going to hurt. But was two teams on a bye really going to mess up that Sunday that much more? It's just one game. So I'm with you. I think it would have made a lot more sense if it was just wait until like week 6, just have 4-4-4-4-4-4 and get it done, and that's it. You're done with it, and then you don't have to deal with this craziness. And we're not forced to watch games, which we don't want to watch.
Exactly. It would be better for everyone, but it is what it is. We're stuck with it.
Yeah, we're unfortunately are stuck with it. But hey, that's why we're here, to help you get through it. And the waivers are going to be a little bit tough this week. Let's start it off, as always, with streaming quarterbacks for this week. A lot of leagues dropped Dak Prescott, as good as he's been playing. Headed into the bye with almost 1,500 yards, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception. All 7 of those touchdowns came in the 4 games before the bye. They get the Eagles. I think he has to be one of the top options if you're looking for a streaming quarterback. Obviously, you know, if you're looking at quarterback in general, you're not starting him over, you know, like, I'm trying to think right now, like Jameis Winston, I'd probably still go with him, Andy Dalton, Russell Wilson, those kind of guys. But he's above, like, Tyrod Taylor. Yeah, he's above Carson Palmer for me this week.
Yeah, I could see that, definitely, for sure, with Carson Palmer's struggles, even though the matchup should be pretty good for Palmer. You just, I mean, you can't trust the guy at this point. So, yeah, Dak, I mean, what we've seen from him has been very impressive. He's definitely in that mix. I would put Mariota and Jameis ahead of him, but he's right there after those guys. If I missed out on those guys on the waiver because they have a couple nice matchups each coming up in the next few weeks, then Dak's definitely – I mean, the Philly defense, I think, is legit. So that's the one thing that concerns me. But Dak has just been very impressive and just seems to pile, whether it's through the passing game – or on the ground, he just seems to pile up fantasy points every single week.
Yeah, he's been very, like, you started off the season very safe, but he's been a lot more consistent right before the bye. And obviously, we all know they've created the talk of whether or not Romo's going to have his job back. But another one, and I know people are going to be very reluctant to use him, if you're streaming quarterbacks, Ryan Fitzpatrick gets the Browns, who have given up at least 2 passing touchdowns to every single quarterback they face so far. What would you have to do to say, hey, I'm starting Ryan Fitzpatrick this week?
No, I think he's in play. I thought you were going somewhere else with that. another guy that I think we'll probably touch on, who's got a really good matchup. But yeah, no, I'm absolutely in on Fitzpatrick this week. I think he's close to a top 12 play. You know, I'm not going to, like you say, with same thing with Dak, I'm not going to be, you know, benching a surefire stud who's got a tough matchup, except maybe someone like Phillip Rivers. But I definitely want Fitzpatrick in my lineup. He looked good in relief of Geno last week, you know, got it done, and was nothing crazy, but I think his being in there elevates the whole offense, and maybe they can get back on track.
So where I was going next, or thought I was going next, was that possibly Houston?
That was Houston, yes.
Brock Osweiler against the Lions, who are giving up the most fantasy points to quarterback, even though they have, well, they have one game where they held a quarterback to one touchdown instead of two plus in every other game. So let me ask you that then. How far deep do we have? Actually, you know what? I'll throw out some names. How about, would you do in your lineup, would you put in Blake Bortles the way he's struggling or Brock Osweiler?
No, I'll still take Bortles. I'll still take my chances with just I think Bortles has a pretty decent matchup too. So it's close, but I'll take Bortles there.
Phillip Rivers in Denver or Oof. Brock?
That's, I think, where the line is for me. And I mean, we just have seen just the limit that Denver is basically a cap of 200 passing yards and a touchdown. And if you got anything more than that, you should be considered really lucky. So, you know, he did okay last time out. It wasn't terrible against the Broncos defense. But if I need any type of upside, I think you have to just close your eyes and put Brock in your lineup. Right.
You know how many touchdowns the Broncos have given up to wide receivers so far?
I would guess it's probably a handful, maybe two or three tops.
A handful would be overestimating it. Is one.
One?
Okay. And can you guess who it was? It's been a while, I'll put it that way.
It's been a while. Kelvin Benjamin.
Yep, first game of the season.
That's crazy.
That's the only touchdown they've given up to wide receivers so far. They have given up three other touchdowns to quarterbacks, but those have all gone to tight ends. So, yeah, this is actually tight ends and running backs, I should say. So it's not a pretty situation, and I think it's definitely a consideration you can make. So let's talk about some running back help, because I know a lot of people are going to be needing it. Again, six teams on a bye. We're going to be talking about some players where you'd probably say, I don't ever want this guy in my lineup. But it's six teams on a bye, and there's a lot of messy backfields out there. So if you don't already own Jaquizz Rodgers, first of all, find a better league. Second of all, if he's out there, run and go grab it. James White is possibly still out there. There's a few others. I think that Jay Ajayi was already nearing the supreme high level of ownership. And if he wasn't already, somebody just blew their entire free agent auction budget or their number one waiver priority to get him, because it's deservedly so with Arian Foster retiring as well. But outside of the big names, I think the top of the list has to be Mike Gillisley, who somehow is still not highly owned. We saw the frustration from fantasy owners' perspective with the whole LeSean McCoy situation last week. We're only 100% speculating, but I think you'll agree with me on this. I'd be surprised if they don't sit LeSean McCoy after what just happened last week. And in that case, anybody with the lead share in a backfield deserves to be owned and deserves to be in lineups.
Absolutely. And even though the matchup's less than ideal against the Patriots, you still, if Gillisley's in there and McCoy is inactive, you have to like him to, just because of the touches. I mean, we got to expect double digit carries, maybe a little bit of work in the passing game as well. So yeah, Gillisley would be a guy that I'd immediately add. It's scary to think that there are reports out of Buffalo right now that it's the same situation as it was last week. And for some reason, they kept him active last week. I'm like you. I would be shocked if he is active. I mean, even if he's close to 100%, give him the week and let him come back the following week.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. But again, we all said that last week. And
exactly.
I think Rex Ryan was the only one not on the same page as the rest of 99.9% of America, saying don't play LeSean McCoy. So we'll have to see what happens this week. Up right behind him, as Chris Thompson is the next one up on the list for me, at least. You're looking at the Redskins situation. Matt Jones fumbled again, lost some of his touches to Thompson later in that game. I think Rob Kelly will obviously still be in the mix a little bit, kind of creating a committee of sorts. Obviously, Thompson is more valuable in PPR, but I think in standard, given this week, given the fact that I expect him to probably get the most touches out of this backfield, he can find flex value in standard leagues too. Again, it's just the fact of the attrition of what's left over at running back.
Yeah, absolutely. And the, I mean, neck and neck in snap counts on the season for these two, for Jones and Thompson. So yeah, in a PPR format, you definitely want to add Thompson, I think, regardless. If you need someone for this week, even in standard, I think with Matt Jones' performance last week with the fumbles and everything, you know, Gruden said he's sticking with him. And I do think that Matt Jones, because of being the lead back there, still has some fantasy value and shouldn't be outright dropped unless you're desperate for space. Thompson definitely deserves to be picked up and possibly in your lineup as an RB2 consideration.
Yeah, I'm also glad that you said regardless and not irregardless, because that's. By the way, a sidebar, did you know they put that in a dictionary?
Irregardless?
Yes.
No, I did not know
Yeah,
that.
so
Maybe
apparently
I
America, you can keep screwing up words and making and saying things that aren't American or not words, and America will put it in a dictionary if you do it for long enough.
That's crazy.
Kudos to America. So, Matt Asiata next up. And I think I would probably put him ahead of Gillisley if Jerick McKinnon was out, just because I trust the workload a little bit more. Like, I see Reggie Bush probably getting sprinkled in a little bit, and he's the one that got the goal line opportunity in that game once LeSean McCoy actually exited. And Gillisley, for his only game that he led the team, like, was the workhorse. He was the lead running back, was last year, 24 carries for 28 yards against the Jets. And I know the Jets' run defense last year was ridiculous. Still, I don't care who you are, 1 yards per carry is not inspiring of a lot of confidence. So if McKinnon is out, I think you have to put Asiata among the top and probably as an RB2. Actually, not probably. He would be an RB2 because he's already got more points than McKinnon because he's getting the touchdown. So if you're going to give him 80% of the workload, the value is going to be there, especially for a team that is a slow churning offense and kind of plays conservatively and tries to win with their defense. You're going to see him getting the red zone opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially if McKinnon's out, you have to like Asiata. I mean, he hasn't been terrible. I mean, I know everyone is gravitates towards McKinnon because of the exciting upside, and I'm the same exact way. But well, Asiata can be an asset in the passing game. He's obviously a really good goal line back, and he's going to get the touches if McKinnon's out. So yeah, I think he's a definite. He'd definitely be the clear number one for me, depending on McKinnon's health. And even so, I'm still would consider Asiata because he's going to have a pretty big role, even if McKinnon is healthy. So that's the one thing in Asiata's favor over Gillisley, who I think goes back once McCoy is fully healthy, goes back to just being a complimentary guy.
Yeah, I think so as well too. So, another situation to have a lot of fun with for fantasy purposes, Devontae Booker. Now we have the Denver Falcons, or whatever you want to call them. It's the Tevin Coleman, Devontae Freeman situation. Hey, look, two Devontaes. What a surprise there. That's a kind of nice coincidence. But at least where Devontae Freeman now has a seemingly clearer path to a workload this week, at least for this week, with Tevin Coleman likely out. CJ Anderson has to deal with Devontae Booker, who actually outsnapped him last week, even though CJ Anderson had the better game. It truly is looking like we're dealing with the Falcons' backfield here, and that means you could probably start both of them in deeper leagues, and especially during the byes. Like this week, I think Booker will be inside the top 30 running backs.
Oh, absolutely. I think you can easily start both of them this week. A really nice matchup. Over 1,000 yards that the Chargers have given up combined to running backs and 10 touchdowns. So I think there's definitely enough upside there for both Anderson and Booker. You have to think that last time out, a couple weeks ago, Simeon threw 50 passes against the Chargers, and I would say they're definitely going to try and flip that this week. And if they can run the ball 40 times like they did last week, I think they'd be plenty happy with that and have Simeon throw more like 25 or 30 passes.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. I don't want to spend the entire rest of the show because we could be here all day talking about these next couple situations. But for running back shared times, I'm going to just list all of them, and then you just tell me if you have appeal with anybody here. So, Kadeem Carey, as John Fox promised he would and did exactly as he said he was going to at the beginning of the season, rode the hot hand. Kadeem Carey outperformed Jordan Howard, saw more snaps. We have Nile Davis and Don Jackson in Green Bay. Jackson didn't break his hand, but Ty Montgomery led that backfield. Mike Davis and Dwan Harris for the 49ers that are on a bye. Maybe Carlos Hyde is coming back afterwards. We're not sure. And then Dwayne Washington is supposed to return this week. And supposedly, Theo Riddick is too, which kind of creates an entire mess with Zach Zenner as well. If you're just looking for running back help, are you kind of, is there anybody that you're just going to shoot for the upside with, or is there anybody from this group of madness that you want?
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough, tough situation right now, and I'm
And
in a
three of the
similar.
teams are in the NFC North.
I mean, it's crazy. It really is. The one guy that kind of stood out to me, but again, it's standing out from a mess, is Kadeem Carey, because he's looked good the past couple weeks since he's been healthy and back. Certainly has looked better than Jordan Howard, who I'm still high on in the long term, but a little nervous about moving forward. as far as I thought he was locked in RB2, and now I'm just not so sure that he's going to return that type of value at this point. Because Kadeem Carey is playing pretty well, and then Langford is possibly due back this week. If he's not back this week, he'll be back in the next couple weeks. So, but Carey is the one that I'm rolling the dice on if I need help this week. I think Zenner is a possibility as well. But again, like you said, if Riddick or Washington or both come back, I mean, forget about it. It's a complete mess. The 49ers situation, I want literally nothing to do with, because Sean Drawn's also involved. It's like a definite full blown committee out there, and Carlos Hyde's probably back after the bye week. So a lot of messy situations. Kadeem Carey, he's the guy I went with, in a league where I'm just decimated by running back injuries, and I picked him up. I'm probably going to have to start him this week.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. And then just as a note for everybody, because now we have two situations where the backup might be worth picking up in your league, Alfred Blue for the Texans, Lamar Miller got banged up. Sounds like he should be fine. But as we saw, he exited the game, and Alfred Blue was clearly the lead option behind him. And we've seen times before in the past when Arian Foster was missing time when he was with this team, Alfred Blue can have a good game or two, actually some really nice games at times. Not going to be consistent, but pick him up. And then speaking of Arian Foster, for the fact that he retired, well, now Damian Williams is the next man up for the Dolphins if anything were to happen to Jay Ajayi. Not that Williams is going to have any value, likely, I would say, in most fantasy leagues with Ajayi doing what he is. But again, if Ajayi were to get hurt, he did perform well towards the end of that game.
Absolutely, he did. Yeah, I mean, so that's definitely something to consider with Foster now out of the picture, and Ajayi running like a madman. You just never know. I mean, he runs with that kind of that streak of Marshawn in him a little bit with the violence. Yes. So there's always an injury concern with guys like that. As exciting it is to watch, it is a little scary.
Damian Williams or Alfred Blue? Because I think I lean a little bit towards Blue, because Kenyon Drake would probably still be involved in the passing game for the Dolphins.
I agree. I think Blue, obviously, once Miller exited, you saw that it was Blue getting, you know, pretty much every touch. So, yeah, I think it's Blue, especially if I own Lamar Miller. I want to make sure Blue's on my squad.
Plus, then I always get that song in my head. I'm blue, Abu Dee, Abu Da. I'll be able to use that in my column at least once this year if that were to happen. So, yeah. Moving to wide receiver, Ty Montgomery, we talked about. Hopefully he's picked up, and if he's not, you can start him out there. If you're playing on NFL.com, you don't have this option. But just for everybody, a heads up, if you do have an ESPN league, he is now running back eligible. Tyrell Williams, Sammy Coates, Quincy Enunwa. Coates is on a bye, but those are some options that should not be available in your league. So for the ones that are, or likely are, Jamison Crowder. I think you'll remember this, Bobby. About 2-3 weeks ago, I led it off and said, what more does Kenny Britt have to do for people to pick him up? Well, what more does Crowder have to do for people to pick him up? He is wide receiver 27 in standard scoring, not PPR, because people are like, oh, he's a PPR guy. No, wide receiver 27 in standard. Is second in the team in receptions, first in yards, first in touchdowns. When is he going to get respect?
Yeah, no, I know. And everyone looks for an excuse of what kind of, you know, why he's producing. You know, obviously the past few games is, oh, Jordan Reed's out, and he's just getting a little bit more care. I think it's just he's legit been playing like one of their best receivers, if not their best receiver.
At least their most consistent receiver.
Consistent, yeah, because we know DeSean Jackson, consistency is not his game. And Pierre Garçon, I mean, just completely fallen off from where he was, you know, 3 years ago or so. So it just I mean, he's got to be, especially in a PPR league, he's definitely a wide receiver 3. In standard, I know he's inside the top 30 right now, but to me, he's more of a 3-4, like on the cusp. But in PPR, forget about it. You got to be starting this guy.
I think there's no question about it. And then Davante Adams had a big game last week. It's always tough to trust a third wide receiver in any team, as we've seen so many times with the Cardinals before. Davante Adams has looked like he's really improved his route running and his catching ability. The only thing here is, in my opinion, it kind of depends on what the Packers are going to do. Are they going to start turning to Davis and Jackson and try to get a more legitimate run game going and try to be a more traditional offense? You know, even when they had Eddie Lacy, they weren't the most they were very low, actually, on the amount of attempts from the running game perspective. But if Aaron Rodgers is going to be throwing the ball 40-plus times a game, now I think Davante Adams, even as the third wide receiver, has value probably as your fourth wide receiver.
Yeah, he definitely could. I mean, he's definitely going to be a boom or bust type of guy, I think. You know, and people are going to get really excited because of obviously the last game stat line. But with Montgomery, 10 catches each of the last two games. Cobb's been resurgent. Jordy's been the one that's been knocked down, so you got to figure that he's probably going to pop back up on Aaron's radar in the next week or so, even though it could be a tough matchup for him this week if he plays against Desmond Trufant. But yeah, there are a lot of balls to go around here, but I mean, he's going to be feeding a lot of mouths here. The good thing is the tight end position has been pretty much non-existent, so I think he can still feed, you know, three or four receivers, you know, pretty healthily with Montgomery getting, you know, running back snaps. Hopefully that continues. Even five or six would help his value, and then that leaves Adams, who's probably still going to get at least five or six targets. You know, obviously saw what, like 16 last week, but you know, even five or six, and he could be a good red zone asset too. I think there's definitely appeal with Devontae Adams for sure.
And then to go back to those Rams we were talking about, Brian Quick, similar to Kenny Britt, is just getting overshadowed. Like, nobody's looking at him. He's wide receiver 31 in standard scoring so far. Decent source of touchdowns. Before Kenny Britt had that huge game, he was the one on the team that had receptions for touchdowns with three, and then he puts up 92 yards against the Giants last week. He has at least 5.1 standard points in each of the last five games and nears double-digit fantasy points in each of those games in PPR. Is Brian Quick somebody that you can see? Obviously, this is a 16 bye week, but if you need some help at wide receiver, plugging him in?
Yeah, I think you can. I definitely think you can. I mean, I'd rather that than Tavon Austin, who just will drive you crazy. And we know that the Rams are going to be throwing the ball in a lot of these games, even though their defense is okay. You know, Gurley obviously has been a disappointment. The run game just hasn't been something that's been, you know, consistently relied upon all year. And Keenum's attempts, especially last few weeks, have been crazy. So, yeah, I think there's enough to go around. Quick was, you know, it was so bizarre with him. He was on the radar in a huge way a couple of years ago. And then last year, kind of wait for him to come back. It takes a few weeks and then he is just non-existent. And I don't get it. I don't know what was going on, why he faded completely out of relevance, but he's certainly back now. And I think he's just a guy I want on my bench because if, you know, my wide receiver three goes down, I feel like I could plug him in and maybe he's going to get me 5 or 6 points. If he scores a touchdown, I'm in double digits and I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, let's talk about a couple more that you might not even be noticing so far. Marquise Lee has actually been the best receiver for the Jaguars to date. Not Allen Robinson, not Allen Hurns. Cordarrelle Patterson, everybody remember him? Remember how excited people were after his rookie season? I know it's tough, but 19 targets, 6 receptions, 144 yards, and 2 touchdowns in the last 3 games. And then Russell Shepard came up huge last week, very similarly built to Vincent Jackson. Any interest in any of these three, maybe all three, maybe two of them? What are your feelings here?
Yeah, I mean, Patterson, I think, to me is intriguing. I just wonder if when Diggs is completely healthy, if he starts to fade a little bit. But, I mean, he's always had that playmaking ability. So, for me, I feel like he's the one guy I gravitate to because of the upside. And yeah, he's still not a really good route runner. But if they're going to make an active attempt to get the ball in his hands and have him do some things with it, which is exactly why they should go back to giving him touches out of the backfield like they did a few years ago. I think he could still definitely be a fantasy asset. And again, much like Quick, he's a guy I want on my bench because I like the upside.
Any interest in Marquise Lee with the, you know, let's make this a twofer. I know we're talking waivers, but Marquise Lee, pick him up, possibly start him. And are you benching, and not for him, but are you benching Allen Robinson at this point?
Yeah, with Allen Robinson, I'm not going to bench him at this point because really, when you look at it, I mean, he struggled. That's 100% for sure. I'm a huge Allen Robinson supporter. But last week was his only ugly, ugly game. I mean, he's had around 50 yards in every game pretty much until last week with 2 catches, 9 yards in a great matchup. And I think that's just what killed it. It was such a good matchup and he just did not come through. So I'm not benching him yet unless I've got some really nice options, but I'd say he's downgraded into the, you know, wide receiver 3 range at this point. You know, back end wide receiver two with upside. I think Lee is worthy of a pickup. I just question, you know, we saw that Julius Thomas didn't practice yesterday, so that's a possibility for Lee, I guess, to maybe get a couple more targets, and he has looked pretty good. Hearns has been okay, but not near what he was last year. So it's just, it's a wide open situation right now. So that, I think that would be the case for Lee. And then obviously if anything ever happened to Robinson or Hearns, I think Lee steps up into a much bigger role. And you know, from what we've seen from him this year, he looks like a completely different receiver.
He does. He's definitely improved. It's something he just kind of rounded off his routes when he came out of college, relied a lot on his athleticism, but it's really starting to take a step forward. It's nice to see at tight ends. It's getting kind of desperate. The tight end situation has just been a mess this year. Just a perfect example is look at the rankings right now. Look at who's the best so far, and you have Hunter Henry as the sixth tight end on the year, and who basically has, what, two or three good games to his name, and he's the sixth best tight end, and he's battling with Antonio Gates for targets. So that's what we're facing right now. So this week, it's a little tough. That's the problem is we don't really have anybody that, quote-unquote, should have been picked up by now, because we already kind of mentioned in the past couple of weeks, like Jimmy Graham, like nobody needs to be told that Jimmy Graham shouldn't be sitting out there in your league at this point. So all we're kind of left up with is waiver wire options, and I think the top two are Jack Doyle, who's going to be a tight end one for as long as Dwayne Allen is out, and it's just a given right there. And then Cameron Brate, who's quieted down the last 2 weeks but still can use him in the red zone. And if you look at some of the options he has coming up, he has Raiders, Falcons, Bears, all at home over the next 3 weeks. So there's good matchups in there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I like Doyle. I like what he's been able to. I mean, he was a borderline tight end one. He's probably, you know, on the cusp outside, but he was definitely close to it while Allen was there because they used two tight ends so much. So, you know, Doyle definitely looks like a guy I want on my roster, at least for the short term. We don't know when Allen comes back, what type of role he'll continue to have. But for right now, you have to like what he's going to be able to do in that Colts offense.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. Let's talk about week 8 coming up. Don't forget, just like last week, there is a London game. It is Washington at Cincinnati in Wembley Stadium. So make sure you get your lineup set if you have any of those players going. But in Thursday night's game, Jacksonville at Tennessee. You know, Thursday night's always, you know, up in the air. We just never know what we're going to get. But to go back to something, a conversation we had earlier, let's talk about Blake Bortles for a second. A lot of people expected him to drop off and expected a regression, but not to this degree, not anywhere close to what would, like, this type of drop off. If you own him, do you just drop him and play streaming quarterbacks from now on, or are you just kind of holding on and hoping that you can get some semblance of what he did last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're hoping and wishing that, you know, garbage time Bortles will start coming through in the fourth quarter for you, but I'm just not sure it's possible. I'm not sure it's going to happen. We saw even with the big numbers last year, I think it masked a lot of the holes in his game, and, you know, completion percentage has always been a problem, decision making, and it was all based on volume last year, and the volumes is there in a way, but it's not as big as it was last year. So yeah, I mean, I'm still holding out hope that he can rebound at least into, you know, some semblance of a startable QB for me, but I'm definitely considering other options at this point, streaming wise. I mean, you talk about guy, if Jameis Winston's out there, I'll pick him up, who's got a really nice short term schedule. You know, obviously Mariota, who's been pretty good these past few weeks, you know, starting to turn around. I mean, these are the types of guys that are outperforming Bortles at this point.
Yeah, I agree with you on that aspect for sure. So back to this London game, if Tyler Eifert is healthy, he was healthy last week, you know, got kind of in the mix, but was very quiet. If you waited this long, and, you know, even if you were burned last week, is this similar to Gronkowski where you just got to start him if he's out there?
Yeah, I think so, because he gets a lot of looks in the red zone. I mean, he only played 15 snaps last week, caught one pass. I think that will probably, I'm going to guess, close to double, so maybe 30 snaps this week. And then they have a bye week, and then he'll probably be back to a full go after that. So I think they'll definitely bring him along with eyes on the bye week next week. So I'm going to start him if I need to, and just hope that he can, you know, do what he does in the red zone, which is just score touchdowns and dominate people. So I think you're hoping for a touchdown here.
Chiefs at Colts. Spencer Ware. Are we just, is he just an RB1 going forward? We're confident now. It doesn't matter if Jamaal Charles is 50% or 100%. We're sold on Spencer Ware.
I think a healthy Charles is probably going to bump him to more back-end RB1. I'd be more comfortable calling him an RB2, but, man, I mean, he has looked so good. It would be interesting to see, I mean, if Charles was out of the picture, just how good he could be, because I think there's, you know, top five, top seven potential here for Ware. You know, and really, I think with Charles' knee swelling, that's kind of the reality check that, like, hey, even if he is healthy and says he's healthy, we still need to take it easy with this guy.
Yeah, I think so as well. On the other side of it, if Dante Moncrief is back this week, do you automatically just plug him back in because of what he means to this offense, or do you have to wait a week?
I mean, you don't love just getting a guy right back into the lineup, especially after you know, being out for, what, a month or so. But Moncrief, and that's a guy who, if you're somehow in one of those leagues where he's available, immediately run to your waiver wire and pick him up, because that is the type of player that, if he has the finish that he could literally help win your league. So yeah, I mean, I have just a slight hesitation because he's, you know, had such a long layoff, but he is such an integral part of that offense that I absolutely have no hesitation starting him.
Yeah, I think so as well. Oakland at Tampa Bay. Latavius Murray, is he just back in our good graces now? Is everything good?
I don't know. I mean, I think he might lull us to sleep. The yards per carry was ugly last week. He did score the two touchdowns, so everyone's happy again. If you own Latavius, he might have been on your bench last week. But now you know he's back. He's at least going to be the goal line guy and the lead back of the committee, most likely. So that definitely gives him RB2 value.
Would say, yeah, he's, especially with the six teams on the bye week, and it's hard not to have him at least in that range for the amount of volume they've seen. And if you looked at last game too, Jalen Richard barely saw much, so it looks like they're going back to him in full confidence. Jaquizz Rodgers at running back again for the Bucks, and it sounds like the Bucks are going to take it slow with Doug Martin. We talked about their wide receiver situation. Seattle at the Saints this week. This is our game. Michael Thomas, is he the next man up behind Brandon Cooks? Is he now the second best receiver past Willie Snead?
I mean, I think it's just, you know, 2A and 2B, really, or really 1ABC, because all these guys, I mean, any given week. Michael Thomas, I had tweeted out a few days ago, he has only had, in a PPR format, one game with less than double-digit scoring, and that was week two against the Giants. He had 9. So he's just
did
been
he like it?
All year. He did not like, no.
Oh, I was going to say, because I think he searches his own name because he likes his. Because I tweeted out that it's great to see people are realizing that he's the new Marcus Colston and the, you know, the possible best wide receiving option on this team, and he liked it.
That's great. No, he didn't, but he should, because that's very impressive for a rookie with, you know, Cooks and Snead as established options, for him to come in and just be that much of a key part of the offense right away. We know the Saints are obviously going to be a volume passing offense, and I think there's enough for three wide receivers to eat here. So obviously Cooks is your nice wide receiver too, and I think Thomas and Snead are right behind him. They're definite wide receiver threes on a weekly basis.
I think so as well, surprisingly enough, and I do think there's a potential for him to finish as the best wide receiver just because of his consistency. You know, he was catching all the touchdowns, and then last week, it's over 100 yards with 10 catches without a touchdown. I love Brandon Cooks, but it's a good problem to have, to be able to have that kind of debate here on Seattle's side of the ball, because, you know, we're starting Drew Brees, you're starting all three wide receivers, you're, you know, starting Kobe Fleener, hopefully he can pick things back up. So if you have your Saints, you're starting them even in a matchup like this, because it's at home and it's on the dome, so everything's great. Mark Ingram too, of course. On Seattle's side, though, Russell Wilson has been struggling so far this year. Are you just sticking with him for the fact that it's a good matchup, or are you starting to be concerned for the fact of how immobile he's been?
Yeah, I think that's the key, is the lack of running for Russell Wilson. I mean, he is just clearly not healthy, and it's limiting how much he's going to take off and improvise, and that hurts his overall game. There's no doubt about it. For as good of a pocket passer as he is, and as smart of a runner as he is, and you know, he really typically times it very well with what he's going to do and when, that's just killing his upside right now. But it is a pretty good matchup. You expect this this type of matchup to be, you know, a really good offense for the Saints against a really good defense on the Seahawks. But I think you have to give the edge to the Saints offense here and expect that they're going to be able to put up points. So that means Russell Wilson's going to have the opportunity to also keep up with the track meet that is Drew Brees and company. So I think you have to consider him a top 10 play this week.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think there's – what do you do with Kristen Michael at this point if you're the owner? Are you worried about Thomas Rawls' return, or do you think that Kristen Michael is going to keep the lead job and Rawls will be sprinkled in? Because C.J. Prosser saw a little bit of action last week too.
Yeah, I think you have to be a little concerned. There's been a couple tough matchups for Michael in the past few weeks, so I don't begrudge him for not having huge bust-out type games. But Rawls coming back possibly in the next few weeks – and Pete Carroll saying that, you know, basically, you know, giving some praise to Rawls and what he means to the team, I think is definitely something where you have to be at least a little bit concerned if you're a Michael owner, because he's playing like a, you know, a really nice RB1, RB2 type. And if Rawls comes back and starts to eat into that workload a bit, if he's healthy, I mean, I kind of throw out what Rawls did at the beginning of this year, because I don't think he was ever 100% healthy earlier this season when he was playing. So Michael definitely outplayed him earlier this year, but I don't think that's a fair valuation of the two players. And if fully healthy, I don't think there's any reason to think that Michael will be the sole ball carrier and get 70 to 80% of the carries. I definitely think he's going to lose some of that work to Rawls. So I think there's definitely cause for concern.
All right. Detroit at Houston. Next game up. Detroit situation. Is Golden Tate back in our good graces now?
I think he is. I think he's starting to get there for sure. You know, two back-to-back pretty good games. I think part of it was obviously Norman on Jones. Once Norman went out with the concussion, you saw Jones free up a little bit. But Tate was the beneficiary of that. And I think as defenses are looking at trying to slow down Jones as that number one option, that Tate is going to see some work. So, you know, it's a really nice offense that Stafford's running and Jim Bob Cooter is calling right now, spreading the ball around, not trying to funnel it simply to one guy like they have in the past. So I do think that there's plenty of opportunities for Tate. I'm not willing to be wide receiver two where I was on him at the start of the year, but I'm willing to call him a definite wide receiver three and certainly a flex option.
And then looking at the Houston side of it, we just talked about earlier with Brock Osweiler and his great matchup. And the three losses and the three really bad games that they had all on the road against the Patriots, Vikings, and Broncos, you know, I think we can give a little bit of a pass to facing the Vikings and Broncos on the road and not doing so well. So if anybody is selling low on DeAndre Hopkins, are you looking at the schedule going forward and say things will get better and I'm buying low where I can?
I am, but I'm kind of cautious of buying low because I know Hopkins was obviously either a first or a second round pick in pretty much every league. And so owners have a lot invested in him. And I know that a healthy Will Fuller is definitely – it helps Hopkins in a way, but also it definitely Osweiler to Fuller has been a connection from earlier this year. And it certainly you know, kind of eat into Hopkins just a tad. Whereas last year he was literally just the target hog. And we saw that last week or the past few weeks where Hopkins has kind of been targeted pretty heavily once again in kind of the double digit area that we're hoping and expecting. So, yeah, I'm definitely buying low because I think he's the type of talent I'm buying low on him because I think he could be a top 10 guy to finish the season, but I am a little concerned with the quarterback play. And I am a little concerned that, that he's not just seeing the massive volume of targets that he saw last year.
Yeah. Now Jets at Browns. We talked about Fitzpatrick back at quarterback. Josh McCown is rumored to be trying to play this week. We don't know for certain for Cleveland, but we kind of know the situation there. Terrell Pryor, Gary Barnage, Isaiah Crowell, and Duke Johnson. So this kind of situation, we know who we're playing in these matchups. And, I mean, same thing with the Jets is Forte. Actually, let's talk about Forte real quick. Is he purely going to be this matchup type of situation where if they have the lead or they're grinding out the clock like they did last week, he's going to have a great game. But if the two games before that, if they're playing from behind and struggling, we're going to see more Bilal Powell. Is it really that simple?
You know, it would be nice if it was, and you could look at it like that. I mean, I think we're looking at A definite, Forte is a definite lead back, but Powell up until last week had been, you know, the guy who's catching the balls late in the game, like you're saying, when they're down and trying to catch up. They obviously both have that skill set, but I think it keeps Forte fresh if they start to use Powell in that role a little bit more. So I think it could be just a little bit back and forth each week, no matter what. And we'll see how it shakes out against Cleveland, which should be a pretty good matchup for Forte. I think you gotta consider him an RB2, and I think Powell is even flex worthy in a PPR league this week.
Yeah, I agree with you on there, especially this matchup is just so great. Patriots at Bills. The Patriots, we know what's going on over there. LeGarrette Blount is great. James White is good in PPR. Rob Gronkowski is amazing, and so is Tom Brady. But Buffalo Bills side of things, Tyrod Taylor, outside of the Week 1 performance where he really struggled, he's actually been a top 15 quarterback the rest of the way. Is Tyrod Taylor, are we talking about him obviously just for this week, but more so going forward too, is somebody that you could potentially, like, let's say you have Blake Bortles and your option, Tyrod Taylor happened to be sitting out there. Wouldn't you make the swap and just go with Tyrod Taylor the rest of the way?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can do that. I mean, obviously the next 3 weeks he's got a, you know, pretty tough matchup against the Patriots. Then he's at Seattle. Then he's got a bye. But after that, things open up very nicely for literally the rest of the season. Like, you could plug him in weeks 11 to 16 in your fantasy season, and you're good. There's no concerns for me at all on the schedule after that for Tyrod Taylor. And he's been so consistent, like you're saying, outside of the week one dud against the Ravens, he has been very consistent, and he does it. It's impressive the way he does it, because it's not with huge volume in the passing game. It's obviously the rushing yards give him a nice floor. And he's doing it all without Sammy Watkins. He's an interesting, unique kind of talent, I think, for the NFL, and definitely, I think, to me, a guy that, you know, starting week 11, you're locking him in. I think you could start him every single week as your QB1.
I think so too. I think he's definitely in the conversation for that. Arizona at Carolina. Is there any hope that Carson Palmer can get on track?
I mean, the thing I kind of looked into this a little bit closer earlier this week, because it's puzzling to me how there's so much offensive talent around him. David Johnson's having a historic season, and we're just not seeing Palmer. It's the touchdowns. I mean, he's had zero touchdowns in three games. He's had one touchdown in two games passing. And so really, outside of since week two, after week two, he had five touchdowns. He's only thrown two since. So, I mean, that's crazy to think about. He's not turning the ball over, though, and the yards are there. So it's just puzzling. He is just simply not scoring touchdowns, not orchestrating touchdown drives that are leading to passing touchdowns at this point. So I do think there is hope because of that. I think it's a really nice matchup against Carolina. We talked about it earlier. I don't know if you could trust him, but I think it's, you know, he's a risk-reward type of guy. If you could stomach it, throw him into your lineup, because it is a really good matchup for him against the Panthers. He should be able to get back on track. And then he's got the bye week, and then a really nice matchup against San Fran in week 10. So you have to like, with the exception of Seattle week 16 and Minnesota week 11, you have to like Palmer's schedule, at least from a production standpoint of possibly rebounding.
Well, let's talk about the next game, because we talked about Phillip Rivers and how far down the rankings he likely is. Does that mean we're probably benching all the receivers, Tyrell Williams, Travis Benjamin, Dontrell Inman? I mean, this is just a week where hopefully you have better options, or can you maybe get value out of Tyrell? Or, I mean, how are you approaching this if you own any of these guys?
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at Tyrell is he's a nice wide receiver three. He's certainly got some upside there. Benjamin, again, I view him as a little bit of a safer wide receiver three, you know, maybe even close to a two at some point. But I want to try and find a better option here. You know, they both were held to like three catches for minimal yard, probably under 25 yards each, or somewhere around there in the last game, which was only 2 weeks ago against the Broncos D. So I am just not expecting much from either guy. We saw what they did with to Hopkins last week. We saw what they did to Fuller, and those two guys are, I think, at least Hopkins, supremely more gifted than Benjamin and Williams. And Fuller's right there with those guys. So, yeah, I'm trying to find other options if I have. I mean, if I have to play them, that I'm just gonna hopefully expect hope that one of them breaks one. But there's not a lot of optimism with either guy.
Yeah, we talked about the running back situation for Denver, the wide receivers. You're starting both of them at this point, especially in a matchup against the Chargers. Green Bay at Atlanta. We talked about Green Bay with Devontae Adams. Let's talk about this backfield. Let's say, you know what, we don't get any type of information. We just keep it as is. It's, you know, talking about it might be more Nile Davis. He might get a little bit more work. Don Jackson might get a little. Is Ty Montgomery just a must-start in all leagues? I mean, we're talking about wide receiver two?
Yeah, I think he's a 2-3, you know, and that's kind of splitting hairs because I do think he's right there. And like I said, I think if he gets 5 to 10 touches out of the backfield, that gives him a nice floor. And he actually looked pretty good as a runner. I mean, obviously had the experience there from college, but he looked pretty good for a guy who you know, hasn't taken too many snaps from the running back position up until the last few weeks. And the bonus, I think, is he's catching a few balls out of the backfield and then also lining up as a receiver, obviously. And he's had, like I said, 20 receptions in the past 2 weeks. So yeah, I think he's a definite viable, especially in a PPR league. I think you definitely bump him to wide receiver two. He does have, in some leagues, running back eligibility. A few of the sites have made the switch over to dual eligibility for Montgomery. So that's something to note, depending on where you're playing.
Yeah, that's definitely something to pay attention to. Devontae Freeman, as mentioned, could be without Tevin Coleman, which obviously eliminates any concern about the Packers' run defense. So keep them out there. You know what? We don't have a lot to say because you know what there is about Atlanta. How about this? Matt Ryan, can he finish as a top five quarterback? Currently, he's number one, so he'd actually have to fall off quite a bit to finish outside the top five. But is he now, like, is he cemented in being a top five at this point?
I think he is, yeah. I think with the way they're playing right now, he certainly is. I mean, it's just the consistency has really been there. Obviously, he's had a couple tough matchups with Denver. Where he was the highest passing total that they've allowed all season. And then the Seattle, it was not a problem for him as he kind of abused them at Seattle, which was impressive. San Diego last week, you kind of hoped for a little bit of a bigger performance, but it just wasn't there from a yardage or a touchdown standpoint. But yeah, I think he's locked in for sure. I think he's playing very well right now.
And then we got Philly at Dallas. As we mentioned, Dallas coming off the bye. Dez Bryant could be back for this team. Ezekiel Elliott, you're starting. And Philadelphia side, they've kind of been on a downward spiral of late. You probably aren't using Carson Wentz or want to as your quarterback. But at what point is, similar to Allen Robinson, at what point is Jordan Matthews benchable?
Yeah, I mean, it's similar. Jordan Matthews, I don't think, is in the same league as Allen Robinson talent-wise. I think Matthews is a really nice, you know, oversized slot guy and possession type, but it's been a little bit of obviously an up and down painful road for Jordan Matthews owners. So PPR leagues, I think you drop him to a wide receiver three. In standard, I mean, he's kind of hanging on to a back end wide receiver three, but. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm not going to drop him because I do think he's, you know, he's a pretty talented guy. And he does pretty well, and he's a good red zone asset. But it's a little bit painful right now for the entire Eagles offense.
Well, let me ask you, because we didn't talk about it. Let me circle back real quick, because they have the Allen Robinson. You have Jordan Matthews. We didn't talk about it. Jeremy Maclin. Is he droppable at this point? Because he's easily benchable. So would you drop him for
definitely
somebody?
Benchable.
Yeah, let me ask you this then. If he's never going to end up in your lineup, so you're never going to start him because you have better options and the way that he's been playing just isn't productive for fantasy purposes, would you keep him on your bench or would you drop him for somebody like Russell Shepard who could be like a lottery ticket?
No chance. I'm the type of owner that I'm going to keep a guy like Maclin, who I know is, even with Alex Smith, if you look at his numbers last year, a pretty solid performer and, you know, basically a wide receiver too last year. He's got some nice matchups. Obviously, a nice matchup this week against Indy. It should be pretty good, but not great. Not as great as it was earlier in the season because they're healthier now. So it's not an ideal matchup. So I certainly would reserve him. But I'm not going to drop him yet. I'm still holding out hope that Macklin could be a nice wide receiver three in a PPR.
Oh, that's nice of you. So at least you got that. The Vikings at Bears closed things out. We talked about Cordarrelle Patterson, you know, in the Asiata situation on the Bears side of thing. Jay Cutler's back at quarterback. Alshon Jeffrey is currently wide receiver 34. Do you think with Jay Cutler back at quarterback, he could finish inside the top 20?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm an Alshon Jeffrey owner, so that's my disclaimer. But I am hoping that the Jay Cutler return leads to the target hog that we thought we were getting when we drafted Alshon Jeffrey in like the fourth round this year. So yeah, I'm hopeful that Smoke and Jay will come back and start force feeding his boy.
I think that's what every owner everywhere is
yes,
hoping for.
Exactly.
Elsewhere with the Bears, Kadeem Carey, as we mentioned, for the waiver wire pickup with Jordan Howard's situation. If you had to, just as the last one, if we had to start one, you can only pick one, would you just go with Carey because of what happened for the last two games?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would. I mean, as much as I'd kind of want to play Jordan Howard, it just hasn't been there the past couple weeks. And if we know anything about John Fox, he's probably going to be loyal to the, you know, the veteran, the guy who's definitely at least done a little bit and looked pretty good over the last 2 weeks. So obviously not a great matchup, and you don't want to have to be starting any of these guys. But yeah, I mean, I think Carey's the start right now. If I had to pick, it's a toss up because both are no more than flex plays. They're not even RB2s this week.
And they probably would be like worse than that if it wasn't for the 16 bye week. Because again,
exactly.
To remind everybody, and that's why the show is a little bit shorter than normal, is because that's it for games. Because we got the Rams, Dolphins, Giants, Steelers, 49ers, and Ravens all on bye this week. Again, same situation next week with six teams on a bye. At least there's no London game next week, so that's good. But as a reminder for that, again, don't forget to set your lineups by 9:30, at least if you have players in those games. Don't forget to also follow us at Olin Kidd for myself, at Hello on Bobby for Bobby. Find our work up at rotoexperts.com. Heck, Bobby won an FSWA writing award last year, so you know it's good stuff. And then listen to us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You can get us everywhere, apparently. It'll be hard not to find us. So good luck this week, and we'll talk to you for week 9.